Sex and Violence with Rebel Girl is presented by UFC Fight Pass. See the best that UFC Fight Pass has to offer on the Fight Pass 24/7 stream, offering a constant channel of historic fight action all day, all night. Tune in, sit back, and enjoy a network created by fans for fans. Step into our world. UFCFightPass.com. Hey guys, welcome back to Sex and Violence with Rebel Girl, presented by UFC Fight Pass, the show that interviews top-level MMA fighters and other experts in their fields about love, dating, romance, and that all-too-taboo subject, sex. I'm your host, Ashley Rebel Girl Evan Smith. Now let's talk about sex and violence.
What's happening, hot stuff?
What is up, my naughty listeners? We're back. It is November, like autumn. I miss spooky season already. I did not get to utilize my Halloween, but that's okay. I'm a grown-up now. I guess I should not put so much weight. But it's my favorite fucking holiday. Me and the boyfriend actually got really cool costumes that we didn't get to dress up because we just had so much shit going on. Good stuff, like adult stuff that we just couldn't. We didn't feel right prioritizing partying over adult stuff. So adulting sucks sometimes. But I hope you guys had a great Halloween. I hope Thanksgiving is going to be awesome. I'm actually going to go home to my little boondocks town, da-ling-ding-ding, and up in Ukiah, California, and visit my family. I never do, but my partner urged me to make time for family. And I urge you to do the same. I just get in my little grind mode down here in Orange County, and I'm originally from Ukiah, California, which is 9 hours north. California's fucking large, and I just don't make so much time. But I'm excited to see my grandpa. If you guys listen to the podcast consistently, you've probably heard me say at least once or twice how fucking rad he is. He is my favorite person in the whole world. And let's face it, he ain't getting any younger. So I gotta go up there and visit his old butt. But yeah, I hope you guys had a great week. My week has just been real busy, like I said. This Sunday, so in 2 days, if you're listening to this the day it comes out, then in 2 days, you can catch SOS 8, Submission Only Series 8. It's a submission-only grappling tournament that my partner puts on, and I have been hosting the last few times with my good friend, Zeta Zhang, pro wrestler and all-around cool human. Please check that out at submissiononlyseries.com or on Instagram at submissiononlyseries. It's a cool event. It's literally the best 185-pound grapplers this time, middleweights. They're competing for $5,000. And if you don't know, if you don't follow jiu-jitsu closely, then you're like, oh, okay, like whatever. But $5,000 is a large pot for jiu-jitsu. It's just not at the level that MMA and other sports are at. And maybe it will be in the future, but organizations like SOS and Eddie Bravo Invitational and those kind of things are working to build jiu-jitsu. I'm a wrestler by background, so you can stick me in that grappler category. I love it. I love all mixed martial arts, but grappling holds a special place in my heart. So if you want to come check it out, I will be there hosting. It is a very cool event in downtown Los Angeles at a vintagey hipster kind of place. It's a different feel. The last event was at a production studio, and this is a production studio as well, but it's called Rose Wolf Studios in downtown Los Angeles. It's all on the website, Submission Only Series. But this one is just like a retro vibe, you know, like wood stuff and like cool antique-y like furniture and stuff like that. And there's gonna be some alcohol available there. I believe that if you buy your ticket in advance, guys, you have to buy your ticket in advance because that's how you get the booze, okay? So if you're interested in that, which I know most of you guys are, I mean, I would be interested too, but you know, I don't drink anymore. So buy your tickets online, and it's going to be a great event. Besides that, I don't have much to say. Massage Matters, I gotta give them some more love because if you guys listen consistently, you know I rave about this place. It's here in Orange County in Irvine, California. The best massage therapists around the room have heated beds. You can be like, hey, Google, I want indigo as a light color. And it changes to indigo. Hey, Google, play Explosions in the Sky radio. That's what I like to listen to because it's instrumental. and it's just like a really, really nice family environment. They got some new therapists in recently. And I'm not actually going to tell you who my new favorite person is. Could be a girl, could be a guy, because I don't want you to take them from me. So check them out, massagematters.com or on Instagram at @ymassagematters. Why there's a Y in the beginning, I don't know, but at Y Massage Matters on Instagram. Lastly, I had this idea literally on the way to the podcast. I'm like doing all these different posts and, you know, like I stay so busy lately, which is good. And a lot of great things are happening. But I think when you get to a certain level of busyness, is that a word? Yeah, busyness. Soul's like, I don't know.
A certain level of busy,
you need to start, what's the word, like allocating duties or is that the right, you know, just kind of like, and so I'm like, okay, so I thought like, are any of you listeners or maybe you know someone interested in a sex and violence intern? As a sex and violence intern. So obviously it's an intern position. Can't pay you shit. But you'll get to work one-on-one with me, maybe DJ Zol, but he's a very busy man. But, you know, I don't want to call it quote unquote the, you know, like the heavy lifting and stuff like that. It's not. It would be some simple posting, maybe some research, some ideas for new segments. Like, it's just a fun position and very casual. So if anyone out there listening, you're a fan and you want to be an intern or you know someone, email us. And the email, I say it every week, is sexandviolencepodcast@gmail.com. Just make the subject line sex and violence intern or intern, something like that. And give me a little, you know, resume. It doesn't have to be extremely extensive. Maybe you have, you know, experience in marketing or you have experience in social media. I don't care. You know, I'm looking to give someone a chance to grow and build themselves and be a part of our team. So that's it. Some usual bullshit I tell you every week. Please support me and Zol and the podcast all by supporting us on sexviolencewithrebelgirl.com. All that money from merch. I know it's a lot of punk rock themed stuff. I need to work on that. But anything that is bought on the website goes into studio time and editing and all that kind of stuff. So I appreciate you guys. Anything you do. If you want to do something that doesn't cost any money, you can always give us a shout out on your social media. Tag us, share an episode, or also give us a rating and review on iTunes. And I think Spotify, you do stars and whatever else. It doesn't matter. Any kind of, you know, send the podcast along to someone else helps us out. Word of mouth marketing, guys. Okay. Also, check out my exclusive content site, ashleyrebelgirl.com. That's where you pervs can purchase some nudie pictures and whatnot. I'm just kidding. You're not pervs. I'm a perv. That's okay. Is perv a bad word? I'm pervy. Okay. And then again, like I said, any, you know, if you want to be an intern or if you just want to talk to us about the podcast, suggestions, maybe something touched you or maybe some, you know, resonated with you, I like to hear it because then I know that the podcast is doing something. It's getting through to somebody and, you know, that doesn't pay the bills, but it warms my heart and it keeps me going because this thing is not making $1 billion yet. That's about it, guys. Now I'm going to talk to you about some people that are helping us. Actually, I don't know. We are on the prowl for new sponsors right now. So let's get right to our guest. Today's guest is a Hawaiian mixed martial artist who competes in the women's flyweight division of Bellator MMA and is currently number 8 in the Bellator women's flyweight rankings. A professional since 2020, she's 31 years old and stands at 5'4". An undefeated fighter at 5-0 and owner of a very promising career, we talk about Just Say Yes, from nerd to MMA fighter, foster parent rewards, small island dating life, having your fiancé in your corner, valedictorian in high school and graduating with a baby, being a serial monogamist, sex on the beach, dismissive versus dominant in bed, hairy men embraced, anti-confrontation but loves to fight, big feet, little woman, and so much more. Here is your guest, Sumiko Lady Samurai Inaba. The beautiful and very badass undefeated flyweight fighter, currently ranked number 8, Sumiko the Lady Samurai Inaba. Sumiko, thank you for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
I'm super excited to have you. Let's just put it out there so everybody knows. You were a little nervous to do this podcast, and I like talking to people that are nervous to open up because, you know, not to toot my own horn, but almost everybody who's been nervous on the show later was like, wow, like it felt really freeing to talk about these topics that aren't normally asked of us, right? Just how's the weight cut going and what's your game plan for the fight?
Yeah, no, definitely. Those questions get repetitive. So it's fun to talk about, you know, of course, fighting, but other stuff, just life stuff. It's great.
Yeah.
I have to get definitely used to it. Like you said, I was nervous to come on here, but I think the more I do it, the more I talk about it and share, it'll get easier.
I think so too. You know, one thing that you and I talked about previously was my favorite quote is shame dies when stories are told in safe places. And I just want to get to know Sumiko. Let's talk first on a fighting level, you know, the violence of sex and violence, and then we'll get into the mushy stuff. But you are undefeated, 5-0. You went pro in 2020, which was a wild time to go pro, right?
Yeah, it was much different. Like fight week and all the protocols that came with it. It was definitely different, but I enjoyed it. Like I know everybody was weird about not having a crowd, but for my first two fights, not having a crowd and being able to hear my corner was awesome. Like I think it made me excel as a fighter, you know, just being more aware and able to hear what they were saying. I think it really helped me. And I think that's a part of why, you know, I did so well. And then, you know, the crowd came back it's a different feeling with a crowd there. I love the crowd.
Yeah.
Like their energy of a crowd is just different. And that, you know, experiencing both was great, but yeah, definitely much, much more different than a typical fight week, which was funny for my first professional fight. Dealing with all that new stuff.
Yeah, it was almost beneficial for you because after the pandemic situation, it's like, well, it's only up from here. Things are only going to get better. Hopefully, I guess, you know, knock on wood. Yeah. Pandemic is always like, could come back. You know, scary.
Yeah, no, for sure. Even when I fought this last time, still in California, like they still had some protocol stuff, even though, you know, we're past it pretty much now, but still, it's still lingering. But yeah, after this, when there's nothing that needs to be done, it's just like, whew, you know,
sure.
Everybody can be normal. Yeah, I know. I did my first interviews like with a mask and all that, and it was so different. I smile a lot, and I express a lot. I feel like with my face, so that was very weird.
Yeah. Well, whatever you're doing, you know, pandemic wise or otherwise, it's working. You're 5-0 right now as a pro, and before that, you were 6-1 as an amateur.
7. I'm actually 7-1 because they're missing a fight on my record.
Even better.
They're missing like my second amateur fight, if not. But yeah, I had a very long amateur career, which is, you know, I think I have to put some credit into why my professional career is doing so well now
Of
too.
course, of course. And you know, why is that? You know, I'm sure you know your coaches and whatnot, but to be an undefeated fighter, oh, and with only one loss on, you know, in eight amateur fights, like what is the secret to success for you? Everyone's recipe is different, right? But like for Sumiko, what are some of those key components?
It's funny because my amateur career is much different from my professional career, and you can't really tell. I did success, have success in both, but it's funny because my pro career started right before, or excuse me, right after I met my fiance. So I think that acceleration, was really good from there. But I don't know, maybe, just balance. I love to fight. It's just what I love to do. Every time someone sees me, they're like, "Wait, what? You fight?"
Yeah. Oh,
So
yeah.
I always say, I flip the switch when I jump in the cage, and it's Lady Samurai. It's not Sumiko anymore. And
Yeah.
I think that is just what it is. I love to fight, and I love to learn, and this is definitely where, I learn every single day. I can't stop learning. So,
Yeah. Honest, you're right. And you know what? Loving what you do, that is huge. Not, I know it sounds weird, but if you're not loving this sport, why the fuck are you in it? It's not a nice sport. It's not extremely financially rewarding, you know? Let's face it. It's very time consuming and there's some other not so great perks. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'll never forget one of my old coaches, Adam Lin. I was having a hard sparring day and I was like being a girl crying, you know? And he's like in his very blunt military way, like, if you're not having fun, like, why even do this? And I was just like, good point.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No, it definitely is, like you said. It comes with the rewards of the hard work, that you put in. It comes with it. But definitely, have to love it to continue to put in the hard work,
Yeah. And like you said, you know, when someone sees you because you are so pretty, it's like the last thing they think is, you know, cage fighter. And I understand that's just the way that MMA is perceived. It's not synonymous with a pretty face. So,
For sure.
I want to know, like, how did you get into this? You're 31 right now, but you've been fighting since 2012.
12. I remember we talked about it, and I was gonna go look, so I made sure it's 12 or 13, but gosh, I don't know why I keep thinking it's 12. I'm gonna stick with 12. But
About the
that's
same
my
time
first
as me, to be honest. That's when I
time.
started my amateur career, except my amateur career was real short and I kind of got, you know, booted into the pro scene much too soon. I wasn't ready, but I did rise to some occasions, which is good. But you got to take a much longer amateur journey and it looks like it's fucking paying off, right?
Oh, thank you. I think a lot of that has to do with just being in Hawaii. It's smaller. The scene isn't as big. Fighting an event, most of the time they don't want to fly out an amateur, so I won't fight, elsewhere but
Yeah.
Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
So it
Yeah.
was just like trying to get a fight here and there, and it was mostly like once a year. If you look at my record, it's pretty much once a year. I think I fought twice, way like right before I turned pro, I think. But I did have really good amateur fights. Like my last three were all off island for after. I got two in Vegas, and then I had one in Virginia. So those were like setting me up for the pros, a little bit.
Was that Vegas
And
tough enough?
tough enough, two
Yeah.
of tough enough. I fought for the belt, the flyweight belt, the first time I won it, and then I defended my belt the second time I won.
Nice, nice.
And then I won the Cowboy Fight Series
Yeah.
belt out in Virginia as
Yeah.
my last amateur fight, and that was amazing. Like all of that experience, that's a professional fight week experience. Like
Really?
flying somewhere, making weight, doing all that. I was the main event of that event, or I was the main event for that event. So it was big. It was great. And I think that really set me up for professional career. Sorry, I went off on a tangent.
No, no, no,
there.
It's okay.
I don't know what we started with.
The reason I brought up Tough Enough was because Tough Enough, I fought for them. I had their like 140-pound belt or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's like the best amateur promotion, and it's like as close to pro, that pro experience as you can get. Just like you were saying with cowboy fights. I personally have never fought for them, but like, you know, it's Cowboy Cerrone's promotion. I can only imagine he would do the damn thing right. So that's great. And then
yeah,
I
no,
think is Sucker Punch.
It was great.
Sucker Punch like work with Cowboy? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a great event. Yeah, being flying all the way to Virginia. It was beautiful. It was my first time that far.
Well, I don't want to, you know, make you get into this extensive long story, but to circle back, like, how did you get into MMA? For me personally, I wrestled on a boys team, I wrestled in college, and then I was like, I like aggression, you know, and I just had like a chance meeting with Eugene Jackson, and then I just, you know, once you start, it's like a drug, and you're like, more. So how did you get addicted is what I'm asking.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So
no worries, no worries.
It was honestly more just for fitness. Me and then my boyfriend at the time were just getting relationship bodies, and we're like, okay, we have to find an outlet to
do something. That's a thing, relationship bodies.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, you know, let's go. And we checked out a boxing gym here on the island. And that was their first year of doing an MMA event here. And it was big, you know? And so they asked me if I wanted to fight, and without thinking, I'm just like, sure. Yeah. I want to get punched in the face. I think I trained maybe for months, you know, almost a year the first time. And
okay.
They threw me in for my first amateur fight, and I won. It was like, Rock'em
Sock'em Robot. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's
just what it was.
Oh,
you
man.
Know, I
yeah.
look back on that fight, and I think it's on YouTube, and I just laugh. I can't just but laugh.
It's
and
great.
It's okay. That's the growth of you as a human being
yes.
and as a martial artist,
yep.
you know, so it's fine. But yeah, that was my first amateur fight, and I won. And I was, like you said, just addicted to violence, I guess, after that, you know. they offered me one the next year, took that one, and it was kind of like keeping myself accountable as well, you know, like you have to make weight for these things, you have to be in certain shape for these things. So it was just something that I could look forward to and keep goals towards, and then I fell in love with that. Now we're here at the professional level, you
yep,
know?
Yep, it all worked out. And if you're looking for something to keep you on task for your fitness goals, the idea of being locked in the cage with another human and they're going to try to punch your face off, that'll really light a fire under your butt to go for runs and eat right. You're like, oh shit, I'm going to war. I better not skip this workout.
You know, it's good motivation to be like, okay, someone's going to try and take off my head. Let's not yeah. let that happen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's great. It's crazy because I feel like most people expect that you got into the sport, you know, some other way, but you're really just, you know, someone who said yes. Have you ever seen Yes Man by with Jim Carrey?
I did a long time. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can't refer to it.
Okay, so Jim Carrey, long story short, he is kind of like I think he's a loan officer, and he's very like negative, like deny. He's very in his little bubble, and you know, he just doesn't want to change his ways, and some magic happens, and basically he's forced to say yes, you know, like he can't verbally say no, so he has to say yes to everything. So somebody's like, hey, rock show tonight, and he's like, yes. He's like, oh, you know, he has to go. And then it's just like all these amazing opportunities because he kept saying yes happened to him. And I think I'm very much like that. Not like I have to say yes, but you tell me, like some of the most beautiful and rewarding things have come from things that were either scary or you never thought you would be doing.
Oh, 100%. Like, you know, I'm like they say, learning to be uncomfortable. And I think that that's something that I thrive in. It's just something like this, you know, being uncomfortable all the time, it makes me more comfortable in other ways, it seems like, you know,
yeah.
almost like the confidence that comes from that I think, yeah, it's great.
And I think like challenging yourself too in different ways, it forces you to analyze yourself and learn more about yourself that you never knew. You're like, oh, that's how I am. You know, it's like it's very self-reflective, you know. How will I do in the fire? Well, you don't know until you walk through it, right?
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure, 100%.
So
Yeah,
I'm
I think that comes from like a positive point of view as well. You know, like saying yes to things instead of no. It's like, yeah, maybe try it out. You know, it's like if you're always in that negative state, it's like no. Nothing comes from that, I feel
Yeah,
like. I think that
exactly.
that's something huge.
I concur. So you're on a roll right now. I feel like you should, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it. I want to know, do you have any other jobs or are you a full-time fighter? And then also, like, where do you train at?
Yeah, so I was bartending for, well, I started off at just a resort here on island, and I was a server, cocktail server, then I became a bartender, and that was amazing. I love my job. You know, it's beautiful here, and that's here in the industry, that's a good part of money. You know, the tourist industry in Hawaii is huge. So it was a great job, but then COVID hit, and you know, it was like a blessing in disguise almost. You know, I lost my job and that whole thing, but then it was like, okay, what do I do but train 24/7 now? So I think that that's where my acceleration had happened as well. It's like, you know, all my attention had been able to be focused on martial arts, and there wasn't like an extra job that, you know, I had to worry or go to, you know, kind of forcefully at first, but then like, oh, I can do this, you know, I don't have to have that extra job on the side, like put all my mind, my work and energy into martial arts. And
Yeah.
it's been paying off. So
Dude,
yeah.
it is so scary putting all your eggs in one basket, right? It's,
For sure.
you know, and you and I will get to this, but you have children. You have a daughter and in a foster child, and it's just me and my dog, you know? Like, so, but that's even scary. I'm like, oh, what if I, you know, lose and no dog food for Rocco? I don't know, you
For
know?
sure.
So I understand you on that. And I did the same thing, bartending and waitressing forever. It's the perfect job for an up-and-coming fighter until you can put all your eggs in one basket and just fight, you know? But so let's get into the mushy stuff. Right off the bat, I always ask, how do you identify sexually, you know, heterosexual, homosexual, pansexual, all that? And then also, what is your relationship status?
Yeah, so I'm straight. I like my men.
Got it.
And then I am engaged. So I just got engaged in February of this year.
Oh, wow, very recent.
Yeah, so right before my birthday, actually, this year,
Okay.
which the timing of that was great. It was super cute. Yeah, he's amazing. We've been
Congrats.
together. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, we've been together for 3 years now. Oh my gosh, I have to
Well,
think
I
about
knew
that.
because you were like right before my pro career. I'm like, she went pro in 2020. She met him. I got it.
Yeah. So not too long, you know, but it's been amazing. Yeah, we have a foster child together now too. So, you know, it's one big happy, crazy family.
So you have your own child and then a foster child. What are the ages on those?
So my daughter's 13. Oh my goodness. Woo! I, you know,
That
have much more respect, and I feel so terrible for my mom now, you know, dealing with this age. But yeah, 13-year-old daughter and then a 15-month-old foster son. So
Wow.
yeah, he keeps me busy.
Is this your first foster child?
Yeah,
What?
first one.
I mean, I know this is like sex and violence, but like, let me just be mushy and be like, oh, you fucking angel. Like, how amazing. I've yet to hear, unless I'm forgetting somebody on the podcast talk about, oh, I'm a pro fighter and this and that. Oh, and I'm also, you know, helping a young child's life. Like, let me just give you a slow clap. Sumiko, you freaking angel.
Oh, thank you.
Was that something you always wanted to do?
You know, I've always thought about it. I've always talked about adopting. You know, something huge, huge for me. But you know, this kind of just landed up upon us, and I'm so glad that I said yes and did it, because it's something that, you know, after, you know, I kind of got thrown into it. So after researching it and figuring out, you know, really what it is, like it's crazy to be a foster parent. It's really it's a very crazy form of selflessness is what it is. And I've learned so much about myself and about patience, and it's made me grow so much as a human being. So you know, props to anybody that, you know, takes on it and does it as well, because it's amazing. And just to be a positive part of, you know, a little person's life, or, you know, not just little person, but anybody that, you know, is a foster parent, just taking care of someone. It's a lot, but I love it. And I take, it gives me a lot of motivation to do what I do as well. So,
That's great. And
sorry,
how,
not trying to get too mushy.
No. I just, how long have you been fostering this child?
Since he was 2 months. So from the very beginning, I've had him.
So what
brand
happened,
new.
What happens? How do you prepare your heart for
that?
It's
crazy. I
guess
it's something that you have to accept. It's weird. You have to accept it, know it, and just that's all that you can do kind of with that.
And you did a great thing for them. Yeah. It's not like you're saying goodbye and you're doing something so beautiful. Oh, okay. Sorry for the mushiness.
You can only take the positive out of all of that. You know, if not, you dwell on the other part of it. You're just like, it gets really heavy, you know? So you're just like, nope, we're doing it for all the right reasons. And that's just what comes with it.
I love that. Okay, well, let's switch gears into your fiance. He must be super amazing. You said that your career, and now you're engaged and you're fostering a child, so he seems to be a really perfect match for you. How did you guys meet? You know, who made the first move? Like, tell me the details.
So it's funny. So, like, I mean, everywhere is small, you know. You say you come from a small place, like Hawaii's small. So of course I knew of him. He's a fighter as well. So even more, you
and
know,
what
like,
island are you on? Sorry.
On Maui.
Maui. Okay. Maui. I recently went to Kauai for, my uncle lives there, and I was
awesome.
I had never been, and I was like, this is paradise. And I realized how small it was too. You know, when you're just like, oh, I'm at one end of the island. I'm at the other end of the island. I'm back on the other side. Okay, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, so no. So you can see how like everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, yep.
But yeah, so we knew of each other. It's funny, like when I actually got to know him, how much, like how close we are literally, you know, months apart. We're the same age. So it's like weird that I didn't know him even more, but I just knew him through the fighting community. And that was years back when I was with my ex still. But then we ended up reconnecting right before COVID and the pandemic had happened again in the gym. It was just by coincidence. You know, we met in the gym originally, and then ended up, I was single at the time, and we met again in a different gym.
Wow.
But I was preparing, that's funny, I was preparing for the cowboy fight in Virginia, and we met. I known him for like, I don't know, a couple of months at the time, and he came and cornered me in Virginia. And I think that all that, you know, that's an experience all in itself. So it was just like a lot of bonding happening over, you know, a short period of time. So that went quickly, but you know, we knew of each other. And then I think fighting connects us on a different level as well. So
I know exactly what you're saying, because I too am a female MMA fighter. I too am you know, I say married, we're not married, but like, you know, my partner and I have been together for 3 years.
For sure.
You feel married, you live together, you spend the whole crazy goddamn pandemic together, which is like spending 5 years together, and you're like, oh, this is my husband. So I honestly know exactly how you feel. It's like when someone bleeds, sweats, cuts weight with you, travels with you, you know, tells you you're beautiful, tells you the best fighter in the world, you're like, okay, you have my heart, you know? So I'm so happy for you. I'm so freaking happy for you. And, you know,
me too, as well for you. Oh, sorry.
Oh, goodbye.
Yeah, me too for you, you know? No, that's great. I didn't realize it was that similar. But yeah, so you know literally exactly how
you know, it's like, that's why I like this podcast a lot, because there's a lot of like, catty bitches sometimes in the sport.
Yeah.
And I just go like, why? Why? We are so similar and we're very unique also. I'm like, why can we not, like, with our forces combined, you know what I mean? Like this strong.
Strong women.
Yeah. Like yes. I'm all for that. And, you know, all we can do is keep spreading love and trying to block
100%.
Out the hate. You know, but I'm so happy that you are in a really happy, healthy relationship. You just, you know, with this sport comes a lot of hurt people. And that's okay because it's become this beautiful outlet where people kind of like therapize themselves, right? You know, it's like, this is my therapy, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. You should probably get some real therapy too, you know. But yeah, so
yeah,
dating in the industry is always like my question, right? You did it. It's working out for you. Congrats. I know you're engaged, but what about before you met the love of your life? Like, how was dating for young Sumiko? Did you have confidence back then? Were you a big flirt? Were you shy?
Yeah, so it's funny. Well, so we can go way, way back because my daughter plays a part of that as well. So I had her my senior year of high school.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got pregnant my junior year, had her February. I had graduated June of that year. So I had her I had her at the end of January. She was due on my birthday. So, but she came a week early. So that's why I keep thinking February. But yeah, so I graduated with a baby, you know, it was crazy.
But I'm so happy that you actually got to graduate because
so
a lot of people aren't
that
allowed.
Relationship started early for me.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it was pretty crazy that year. I was like the first of like 10 girls that got pregnant in my class that had graduated. It was pretty crazy. But for me, mine was, you know, caught everyone off guard. Like I graduated as a valedictorian in school. So like had straight A's and like, it was just totally not something people were like, what? You're pregnant. You're having a baby.
Yeah.
It just came out of nowhere
of
for
course.
Some people. Which for me too, you know, surprise.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you want to, you know,
hey,
explore with boys.
Hey, everybody. Hello, young people. Wrap it up. Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Kids are great, but wrap it up.
Yes. So that started early. So, you know, I was in a relationship constantly for periods of time.
Yeah.
So I didn't really date, I wouldn't say, especially, like I said, again, coming from Hawaii, it's small. Everybody knows each other. You don't really get to date without like knowing, oh, so-and-so already dated
mm-hmm.
that. So you're like, okay. So the pool gets smaller and smaller as you get older and older.
Yeah.
But yeah, before I met my fiance, I was in a stretch of like almost 8-year relationship before that.
Okay.
Too. So that took up, you know, most of it as well. So yeah. So I had my daughter, broke up with my daughter's father, and then met my ex who I was with for that extended period of time, and then met my fiance. So there wasn't much, you know, dating as a fighter. It wasn't extravagant for me or weird, or I didn't have to like deal with doing that. It was kind of like
you know, are what we call a serial monogamist.
relationship. And I think that, you know, I learned a lot about myself, you know, good or bad, of the leading relationships up to this point.
Yep.
It, you know, it was all just perspective. And now I'm in this relationship and I've grown as a human being. And the timing of all that, I think, laid out well, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird and funny to think, you know, my daughter she's 13. So she, you know, would constantly be like, mom, I want a brother. I want a sister. I want a brother. I want a sister. And then surprise, here came her foster brother. Was
wow.
Just like, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
You know, like, here you go. So
that's amazing. Yeah, that's, well, you know, like you just said it perfectly. You're like, you know, each relationship, you know, I kind of learned something new about myself. And that's all you can really ask for. Even the bad ones, you know, like this is kind of like morbid, but like, you know, I'm not very close with my mother and like, you know, just very tumultuous situation. And I'm like, okay, like at the end of the day, shitty situation. But I'm like, at least I know what I don't want. to be. Do you
Right.
know what I mean? And so, like, for relationships, I kind of like, all right, every bad relationship you have, don't look at it as like wasted time. It's like, okay, I fully know what I don't want in my life now. And then you just move on and look for something that's either completely opposite or has better qualities. So, what's something that if you could tell young Sumiko after all these, not all these, but you know, these few relationships and learning these lessons, what would you tell her?
You know, it's crazy now being who I am, and I think confidence was a huge part of a lot of not my problems or the mistakes that I made, I want to say. So like if I guess I couldn't tell her confidence, but if I could, you know, somehow, you know, go back as a ghost and be like, hey, you need to build your confidence, you know, you need to do something that's like me now as a, you know, 31-year-old, I just want to put that, instill that in my daughter. So it's weird, like reflecting back, if I could tell my 13-year-old self right now, you know, like I want her to do jujitsu. I want her to, you know, play some kind of sport or have some kind of passion that you can throw yourself into and get confidence from that. It's just something really, really big that I hope, you know, on my platform that I do get to show youth or just like people in general. It's just, it's confidence. It's huge. It's
of
something
course.
That I think the world needs, you know.
And you said it, the same thing that I say, like that gave me confidence was being a young girl, and I was total tomboy, and I got into wrestling on a boys team, you know. So yeah, jujitsu would be a little bit more ideal because, like, I think you know, not putting one girl amongst a bunch of young adolescent dudes is not always the best. You got to be a tough bitch like me to kind of like hold your own. But I think that wrestling saved my life, and it gave me I didn't have much confidence, but the confidence I had came from, I'm like, all right, I'm a tough bitch. I can do a lot of hard things.
Yeah.
And then you just build off it. So very, very good advice, Sumiko. I'm always telling people, like, whatever you do for your kid, try to put your kid in some kind of sport. Obviously I'm biased because of wrestling, but you know, sports in general, just dedication, hard work, perseverance, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, 100%. No, I agree. I think it teaches you a lot. Accountability is huge for, you know, you know, young kids growing up learning that. I think sports does that really well. So.
For sure. So, you know, like you said, you haven't had too much experience dating while you're an MMA fighter just because you met, you know, your partner, and or you've had two long-term relationships while you've been a pro fighter, right? Do you get treated differently because you're a pro fighter in the dating world? You know, this could be good or bad because they understand that being a pro fighter means you have different needs.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What was the question? Was it?
No, you're a female MMA fighter. So sometimes it tends to be a different dating world for us, whether that's good or bad.
Right, right.
Sometimes it's like, oh, you're a pro fighter. I want to wrestle you. And you're like, oh, man, like, come on, come up with a different, you know, pickup line. Or sometimes our partners, they understand what we need. So perfect example, I always say, like, I'm really cranky on fight week. And my partner is always like, all right, like, you get a pass this week, you know.
I think that's, I don't know if that's where like levitating towards fighters as a partner came from, or like, I guess, you know, starting my fight career with someone that was fighting as well. It's kind of just what I was used to almost.
Oh, so your partner's also a fighter.
Weird. Yeah. So he fights, he's a professional fighter too. So, it's just like, he totally understands.
Okay.
And I think I got drawn in that way, almost, you know. So my ex was a fighter and like current is professional fighter, so it's like I've grown as a fighter in a relationship. Is that weird to say?
No,
almost.
No,
like,
no, that's literally,
you know?
Yeah,
so,
that's
and I don't know the comparison almost now, so it's like
what do you think is a
what's
benefit?
A normal what well, you know what's a normal relationship?
For sure. But I think, like, you know, I think you reap benefits in your situation, right? You know, like, you're not, I have guys on here that have been like, yeah, you know, my girlfriends never understand all the time I have to put in the gym or why I can't drink or whatever. And when you're dating another very serious professional fighter who takes their career legitimately, then you don't gotta explain, and you're not gonna get nagged for fucking following your dreams, right?
Oh, 100%. See, that's exactly what I mean. It's like, I get almost spoiled. Like, he knows so well, you know, like what I'm feeling, like to the exact, you know, he's like, I literally know exactly how you're feeling, you know? So, and that's it. I think that what gets us stronger is a bond, and, you know, he always has the right things to say because he literally knows how I'm feeling. It's like, it's hard, you know, not coming in a weird way, but like, if you're not a fighter and you try and, you know, I don't know, as a fighter, you get in this place sometimes, especially during fight week, you just like question everything. Mm-hmm. And he just has all the right things because he's literally been in that place at that time. And it's like coming from another person who hasn't ever felt that, or, you know, has no idea. Those words are different. I don't know how to explain that.
Okay, but so they could have the best intentions, right? Because they're trying to make you feel good, but it doesn't carry the same weight as someone who's actually been in it. And I know what you mean. And it's like, some people might listen to this and go, but Sumiko, you know, your partner loves you. Does it matter that they haven't fought? Well, a little bit, you know, because the same way when a coach who's actually fought, or, you know what I mean, trains, when they show you a move and they tell you like, okay, this, it's like, you have more respect, you know, and you're 100%. Like, all right, you know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, it is great perks of it. And as well, just the mindset, you know, like you said, somebody like him, I got my work ethic from that guy. Like, he's taught me, you know, I have to give a lot of praise to him. He's done, you know, a lot with my fight career and my mentality as a fighter as well. You know, he's very strong minded. A lot of, you know, the things that I repeat to myself is just words that he tells me. So in that sense, you know, as a fighter relationship, it's huge. It's a part of my success, you know, as a fighter in the cage as well.
Yeah, that's very, very beautiful. Yeah. And now to be a Mick asshole, I'm going to try and play devil's advocate because I know it's not all sunshine and rainbows and, you know, it's all good. But, you know, two people in the prime of their career, like, do you guys butt heads, or is there ever like scheduling conflict, or like, what is something that you're like, okay, it's so great to have a boyfriend as a pro fighter, but this kind of irks me sometimes.
Yeah, of course. You know, when we're both on like the last straw and we know it, you know, you're just like, can't just stay in the other room, or, you know, I something that he's taught me a lot is communication, because, you know, as a fighter and just my personality as a person, I've learned that I just keep everything in. And I think, you know, that's like fighting. Yeah. So he's not like that. He likes to communicate and in that way. So
hey, tell him I said good job, because it's usually the other way around, right? The woman's like, talk to me. And the guy's like,
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, that's true. I do need to go give him a kiss for that one. Like, thanks, babe. No, definitely. He's helped me open up in that way. And I think that that's helped us a lot too. But yeah, you know, when we're both tired and sore and there's emotions of teenager and toddler and all that, you're just like, so it happens sometimes, but it's okay. You know, we get to punch each other in this room.
For sure.
On the side too.
I love
it. So we have our couples therapy as well. It works out.
So you're a beautiful female fighter. I always ask this silly question, but it can get, I don't know, we like to keep it silly. So what are some creepy DMs, or do you get weird DMs at all? Or are you the lucky one fighter who doesn't get weird DMs?
You know, I knock on wood, do I have wood around me? I haven't gotten the craziest of DMs, because I know that gets crazy. And I'm not surprised. Like, the world is at your fingertips. You know, everybody can communicate with everybody. You can send people crazy stuff. The craziest, you know, I get always like, oh, you're beautiful. You know, hi, how are you? I want to train with you. I want to punch you. Like, I don't know. That's like maybe the weirdest stuff that I've gotten. I haven't gotten any weird pictures or anything of that yet. So,
well, you know what? I'm happy for you, and let's not
knock on wood.
Yeah, let's not jinx it. You
It's
see.
not an invitation, it's just a
Yeah, just a
statement.
statement, guys. She's not saying like poor me. She's like, okay, this is good. So you've been in, like you said, these a few very long-term relationships, but that doesn't mean that we are not, passionate, very intense people. So I like to ask, what's the most romantic or craziest thing you've ever done for love?
Oh. Funny, I even thought about this and craziest or most romantic.
I mean,
Gosh, I
crazy
like.
can be like, you even like it's crazy sometimes to like stay in a relationship for so long, you know what I mean? Or it's crazy to.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that. Like thinking back now as the person that I am today, yes, of course, reflecting back, you're like, wow, I was crazy in love to deal with that,
Yeah.
like, yeah, in that sense, I guess keeping myself in that for love. Love is blinding sometimes, and I guess that's a good one. I'm sorry, but I have to steal yours. It's like
No,
staying
that.
in something, that you now thinking back on it, it's like, oh yeah, I was only in that for complete love. It was this, like, logically, you're like, what the heck? That
Yeah,
was just your heart
of course, of
completely.
course. I think later when we're out of the relationship, and sometimes when we're in it, we are like, okay, like balancing our pros and cons, and the cons are like so high, and like the pro is like, but I love him, and we're like, oop, like it's just it doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's crazy. It's crazy. So yeah, that could be
For
good.
sure.
I'm always kind of like digging because, in my mind, I'm like, okay, she is an MMA fighter, but she's also Hawaiian. I'm like, maybe she got crazy and she scrapped, I'm like, let's look at, no, okay, all right, I'm digging for it.
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I keep my fighting in the cage. It's funny because, like I said, growing up, nobody thought, like, to this day, they're like, you fight, like, what the heck? Coming from, I was a straight A student. I was, a nerd in school. Nobody expected me to fight. I didn't fight in school. I had no kind of confrontation. I wasn't that. I wasn't that, So it's like,
That's beautiful. That's
when I
great.
think on it, it's literally like, it has to be a switch. It has to be, like, what else in my mind allows me to do that? It's funny. The fighter part of me is becoming more and more of who I am. So it's a little weird to talk about that. But yeah, it's just like, even to this day, people are like, I can't believe you fight. It's like,
No, it's just like I said, it's like sometimes when you put yourself through something extremely challenging, you're like, oh shit, I didn't even know that that's how I was gonna react. And you learn more about yourself, I'm like,
for sure.
shouldn't we know ourselves? Like, no, not really. For me, I was like drinking, a whole bunch back in the day, and not that long ago, And it's like when you're doing that, or maybe, sometimes when you're so engulfed in another relationship and you put yourself second, there's no time to learn yourself, or you throw yourself into your work or whatever it is, right? Sometimes we can get to an age where we're like, I don't even fucking know who I am, and fighting can help us.
For sure. It
Yeah.
really makes you question, who you are, who you are, who
For
are you?
sure. So there's a myth, or it might be true for you, that fighters should not have sex before their fights. Do you abstain, or is this like, no one cares?
I've heard that, and was it Rhonda that made that, like, huge when she talked about it? Yeah,
Yeah.
I remember watching that, and I was just thinking, like, okay, I don't think so. So yeah, so no, that's not part of my ritual. I don't think that's, you don't have to abstain from that to perform.
And you know what? Like, the thing that I've come across, like, I think only one person, and I always say it was like Tito Ortiz. He came on the show and he was like, yeah, I don't have sex for 2 weeks. And we're like, oh, wow. Everyone else on this show has been like, hell, motherfucker, no, I need to get laid before, like, it's stress relief and yada yada.
Yeah, you know, I maybe for a male, I could see like the way they would think that that would be better for them.
Yeah.
But I almost think, yeah, like it's the opposite almost a little. I don't know. I
Well,
guess I wonder if there's something you could test that to prove
I
it.
think like to each their own, you know, if you
For
literally,
sure.
if you think that it's going to help you, maybe it'll help you. If you think it's going to hurt you, don't do it.
Like the placebo effect. You're like, whatever it does for your mind, let it do it, you know?
For sure.
Whatever you believe in, you believe in.
So now that you've told me a little bit more about how small, the island of Maui is and like growing up and how the talent pool gets smaller and smaller, I'm like asking some of these like questions and I'm like, it's probably going to be hard to answer, but have you ever, what's your craziest place you've ever hooked up? Some people are exhibitionists and they like, what, like they hooked up when they were young somewhere or, for you, I'm like, did you ever do it on the beach? Like, I don't know. Like, wildest, craziest
That's
place
funny.
you've ever hooked up.
Yeah, I was that's funny because that's the first thing that it was the beach. Because you know, like Hawaii, it's big, it's open, but it can be private too.
Oh,
So
yeah.
the beach is definitely, I think, the craziest. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, when we went
Just in the
there.
sense of like public, you know. It was private public, you know, so that's kind of
Yeah.
the craziest.
I honestly, I'm like, because when we go back to visit my uncle, we didn't do that. But we're like, okay, we want to do that because it's a small community. But like you said, it's like there's so many little like hidden beaches, nooks and crannies where, no, you understand why people come here as a tourist to like just get away from, the city life and every and so many people. Like it's just so nice to be somewhere where you're the only fucking person around. Like, and you don't get that in the city in Orange County and LA over here. Just like constant like chaos. So we're like, okay, when we go back to Hawaii, let's do that. But since I'm like, an adult now, I'm like, I don't want to get in trouble for like a indecent exposure. So I'm like, okay, we're gonna get one of those little tents, like you zip it up. And I'm like, then it's technically sex on the beach, right? But we're like in the tent.
Inside, for
Okay.
sure. That's like your adult brain going and
Yeah, I'm
like,
like,
okay.
I don't
You got to
wanna.
be dangerous, but censor danger.
Exactly. And so another question is, like you are an alpha female, we're female fighters. But I always ask, like in the bedroom, is that somewhere where you tend to be dominant, like your, kind of fight persona? Or, is that more like Sumiko where you can be a little bit more submissive and allow your partner to be dominant?
Definitely, I'm definitely submissive. I like a dominant partner. I'm
Mm-hmm.
totally like,
Yeah.
I think that that's just the balance of it, you know, like in my relationship as well, like I am able to be submissive because I trust completely my partner, you know. I think
Yeah.
that comes with that as well. It's like to be able to be submissive to your partner, it's you have to trust them, you know.
Yeah,
So
that's very true.
yeah.
That's very true. And
Yeah.
it's funny because it doesn't matter who the person that I like, what female I have on, you are 5'4" at 125 pounds flyweight, and my last guest was Jeslyn Michelle. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot her name. I meet a lot of women. I meet a lot of people. Jeslyn, the body slamming queen, Michelle, who is 5'10", and she fights at 155 pounds. And she said the same thing. She's like, I like to be submissive and to be made to feel dainty and small. And I'm like, I think it's just an alpha female thing where it's like our whole lives we're just like raw, strong, dominant, and then in the bedroom it's like you have to really trust that person, like you said. But it's so nice to be able to put that wall down,
For sure, you know, and especially like I think just constantly, yeah, like you said, just constantly having as a female fighter too, you know, you have like this thing about you. You're like, okay, I'm get to for, you know, however long to just let that go away. It's gone, you know, and totally just let go. So,
It's almost a little bit like role playing, you get to be, yeah. Well, which is a perfect segue into the lightning sex round. If you guys are new to the show, the lightning sex round is a yes or no segment where Sumika will just say yes or no, and I'll ask her a couple questions. If you have like a story with something, I have to let you know, Sumika, that sometimes our listeners will write to me and be like, "Hey, she wanted to elaborate." So if you want to elaborate, it's an option. But okay, you ready to play?
Okay,
okay,
let's do it.
So lightning sex round with Sumiko. Do you dirty talk in bed?
Yes.
Spank or like to be spanked?
Like to be spanked.
Biting?
Yeah.
Choking?
Yeah.
Threesomes?
No.
Do you watch porn?
No.
Any fetish like a foot fetish?
Uh-uh.
Bodily fluid fetish?
No.
Okay, bondage like ropes, blindfolds, or handcuffs?
Not yet.
Not yet. Role playing?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
Or not that I consider, but that's funny that you kind
yeah,
of brought that
I mean,
up, so.
You know, it's like, that's a way to look at it. But when I think role playing, I'm like Superman and Superwoman or something.
Yeah.
Okay. butt stuff on you or a partner?
No.
Do you use sex toys?
No.
Ever been to a swingers club or a sex party?
No.
I doubt there's any on Hawaii. It seems very small.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, do they exist? They probably do.
Very, very, very undercover. Are you a lingerie lover?
I don't, but I love it. I don't have, though, but yeah. I do love lingerie.
I never really got time for that unless you're making money with it. Body hair, yay or nay?
Nay.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I mean, for myself, but them.
Oh, you don't care about the guy?
No.
No. What if he's super hairy?
My fiance's pretty hairy.
Oh, okay. You like it all rough terrain over there. Good for you, girl. and then have you ever been caught
No. Okay. I have to, for his sake, I have to like go back on that. I'm sorry. It's well kept, but yeah.
Okay. Got
there
it.
There we go.
Trust me. All the hairy guys were like, yeah, Sumiko.
Yeah.
Have you ever been caught having sex or masturbating?
Yeah.
Is it an awkward story?
Having sex. I was just young, you know, so that was just, it was just bad.
Oh no. Awkward. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is the end of the lightning sex round. Not so bad.
No, that was great. I love it. I love that kind of fun. Like you said, you know, you can't think really. You're just like, answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Rapid fire. No time to be shy. Just say yes or no.
Don't think.
So the last two segments are a game of fuck, marry, kill and fan questions.
Fuck one, marry one, kill one. Go. I think we're done here.
And the fuck, marry, kill that we came up with is, where'd it go? It is very fun. So between these three names, you got to tell me who you would fuck, who you would marry, who you would kill. Are you ready?
Okay.
We got Barack Obama, former president, Jason Momoa, and then finally, Bruno Mars.
Okay. I would probably...
Before you answer...
Okay.
You probably know this because I feel like, you know, locals are like, oh, they're not a local. But like, are any of these people like born and besides?
I don't know. Well, Jason Momoa like has ties to Hawaii. I do know that because he's always here. And I know that, you know, when. Oh, ha, Stephen, born in Kansas is what he said.
Yeah. Oh.
Kansas is Polynesian descent.
Oh, born in Kansas, but
yeah.
Polynesian descent.
Yeah, he has a big connection to the Hawaii community because especially
like
when
the
they had like a bunch of protesting stuff, like The Rock. Yeah, exactly. They had a bunch of protesting stuff. He was there, you know, with it and alongside, you know, all that.
Supporting,
so
yeah.
And he's always with like some kind of Hawaii activist and, you know, takes a lot of part in that. So I know he's connected to Hawaii.
That's very cool.
In that way.
That's attractive.
Yeah, no,
that's very attractive.
Oh, everybody loves him in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, yeah.
Okay. So,
which is hilarious because my fiance, just like, that's just a funny, is we were at a resort one time and these three drunk guys were just, you know, in the pool and it was me, my fiance and my daughter at the time. And he just screaming, it's Jason. He couldn't even say his name right. I don't know what he was saying. He said, it's Jason Manono or something.
Manono.
They're talking about my fiance, right? And
oh.
So I'm like, babe, they think you're Jason Momoa right now. And he just like couldn't stop laughing. So yeah, so it's just funny. I mean, they don't look very much similar, but facial hair and like that kind of thing.
Okay.
It's similar.
I'm going to stalk your boyfriend and do one of those funny, like, side-by-side pics with him. Like, okay, okay. So does that mean since he is the most visibly or...
attractive one.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Jason Momoa.
Okay. And then who are you going to kill?
I'd probably marry Bruno Mars and... I'm sorry, Barack Obama. I'd kill Barack
Obama.
You're
not going to marry the former president?
Yeah, I don't think I could do that one. I don't know. To have that kind of job, you have to be a certain kind of person. And I don't know if that would, I don't know if I could marry that one.
Not only does he have to be a certain kind of person, but you would have to be a certain kind of wife, right? Like,
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Bruno Mars, you know, he's a performer in my own way, I guess, you know, jive a little bit better.
Okay. I love that. Cool. So let's get to these fan questions. Now, before we go, before we talk about fan questions, this is the part of the show where people will switch over to the UFC Fight Pass platform to hear the exclusive content. But for those fans or listeners who won't switch over, who have yet to buy the UFC Fight Pass, you know, subscription, where can they find you on social media? Do you have another fight lined up at the moment? I know you just fought October 1st, so.
Yeah, no, I was trying to get on the December card. I was trying. I kept bugging, but they said it like most likely won't happen. So probably not to the beginning of next year, which is fine. You know, it's all good. It just, I have to be a little stricter on the holidays, which is like, all right, whatever. But yeah, so hopefully at the beginning of next year yeah.
Is there anybody like, you know, I know you're a very humble person. I can tell that already, which is beautiful. And you don't get that too much in the sport. But, you know, you're earning your stripes, you know, and I feel like you could probably call someone out right now. Right. Create some hype. Like you're undefeated. Like who do you want to fight? Like create some buzz. You know?
I'm so terrible at that. I'm terrible. Like I said, I don't like confrontation. That's just like,
I don't like
it's
confrontation.
Such a weird thing. It's such a weird thing as a fighter. You know, it's like, I don't want confrontation of a punch you.
You're
face.
So
no,
cute.
No, it's totally not that, you know, I can't be more than grateful to be ranked already, you know? So I think that for, you know, in that perspective, like I'm definitely going to end up fighting somebody ranked, you know, or they're going to throw me a level up of competition, which the fans want to see as well. I think I felt that the last time I fought, just being a rematch, my last fight and all that, you know, everybody was like, oh, you know, I thought she was going to start fighting a ranked opponent, whatever.
It's so funny how people have like such a strong opinion on your career. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, she's just, I'm like, who are you, motherfucker? Like, shut up. Unless you're my coach or my teammates, you know, like.
Pro announcers.
Yeah, like the, you know, the couch commentators, you know.
Exactly. So it's like, it's all good. But no, I think, you know, definitely for me too, like my skill level, it's going as well. And I want to keep challenging myself. And I think that's just something that I can put out there, you know, the next one, it's definitely going to be a step up in challenge. But no, I don't have any names. I'm so bad.
That's okay. But, you know, don't let anybody take anything away from you. Even though that was a rematch, you know, we say this in the UFC all the time. Like, there's no fucking easy fights in the UFC. There's also not a lot of easy fights in Bellator, you know? Probably no easy fights, realistically. I've never been in that organization. So, like, I don't speak on it as much. I try to, you know, only have opinion about the shit I know. but, you know, like, that's... you know, unanimous decision, you know? So it's not like you didn't go out there and earn that. You're doing everything right. Maybe be,
oh, thank you.
be louder, be, you know, like more confrontational, confrontational.
It isn't, and that comes with confidence as well, you know? And I do have a lot of confidence, but I still can build as a person and with all this, you know, it comes to, and it's coming, it'll get better.
And here's the thing, Sumiko, I always say it's like, yeah, everybody wants like a Conor McGregor or a bitchy Ronda Rousey or something. But at the end of the day, people just want you to be who you are. And when you listen to this podcast, like, they're like, oh, she's fucking a sweetheart, you know? So like the next fight, you go out there and you're like, I'm taking all these bitches down. You're like, that's not Sumiko, she's faking, you know? So it's
right.
It's not WWE. You don't got to create this persona. You're all good. And then, but where can we follow you on social media?
Sorry, I knew there was another part of that. I was like forgetting what it was. I only have Instagram, but it's at sumiko.inaba. Sorry, my dogs are barking.
No worries.
Sorry.
What kind of dog do you have?
Oh gosh, I have. I have a blue nose pit bull who is going crazy right now, which I'm so sorry.
No worries. I can hear you fine.
Okay. Who sleeps in the bed. He's a big old baby, but then he barks like that outside. He's just like, shut up, shut up. But no, and then there's a couple of other ones out there. They're all big, like mixed breeds, aww. But there's three of them out there just making a big old loud. Oh gosh.
I love it. Okay, guys, that was episode 121 with Sumiko, Lady Samurai, Inaba. What an absolute sweetheart. You know, I feel like I'm always surprised at the guest's answer, but, you know, I kind of felt like Sumiko was going to be a sweetheart, and now I feel like she's even more of a sweetheart. Like I said, like, what an angel, being a foster mom, you know, valedictorian. Like, she just... It's different to hear of somebody who's, you know, had like a little bit of a healthy background and getting into such a crazy sport. And I think she's a great role model. She's beautiful. She's kind. She's loving. She's a hard worker. And she's really selfless. And so, yeah, what an absolute awesome person. I'm very happy to have her on the show. Guys, UFC Fight Pass is the world's premier combat sports streaming service with over 200 live events, the largest fight library in existence, original shows, and more. Sign up for 1 year and get half off for a limited time at ufcfightpass.com/signup. Okay, next week, very excited to have this guest. His name is Dean Thomas. He is a retired American MMA fighter and a true OG of the sport. Here's a little tidbits of information for you MMA nerds out there. He was featured on The Ultimate Fighter 4, The Comeback. He was a UFC 41 lightweight tournament semifinalist. Now, you know he's an OG when you say UFC 41 lightweight tournament. I don't even think they do tournaments anymore. Like, it's crazy. And then he's also a jiu-jitsu black belt. He runs two successful jiu-jitsu MMA and MMA academies in Florida, I believe. And he's notable victories over UFC lightweight champion Jens Pulver, UFC welterweight champion Matt Serra, and Strikeforce lightweight champion Clay Guida. His last fight in the UFC was UFC... and that's not correct because he was the UFC 41 lightweight tournament. But he fought BJ Penn in the UFC as well. Just, you know... He did the damn thing, and is he in the Hall of Fame? No? Should be? All right. Shout out to Dean for being in, for, you know, amazing
for
stuff.
A Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, for a Hall of Fame career, really. I'm like, that seems like worthy to me. But now you can see him in his all his glory on the UFC desk. He is a UFC post-fight show and other UFC analyst position. I don't know his exact titles, but catch him pretty much whenever there's a UFC fight or fight night on, commentating and analyzing. So he's going to be a fun guest next week. You can follow him on Instagram at Dean Thomas, that's DinThomas or something like that. He's very goofy, and so it's going to be a good show. I know he's also on the sober train like me, so I'm sure we'll connect on that level. Check it out, guys, next week. And don't forget, sexviolencewithrebelgirl.com, buy some merch, support the show. And if you know anyone who wants to be a sex and violence intern, shoot them our email so that they can send our... resume or whatever, you know, it doesn't have to be extensive, guy. It could be like, you know, this is what I've done, you know, you didn't have to go to school for it, something simple. So send that email to sexandviolencepodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support the show by helping me with my sexy content site, that is ashleyrebelgirl.com. And as always, we please ask you to just share the show and spread the word. Spread the love, guys. Thank you so much for your fan questions every week. I know that some of you are pissed that they're on the UFC Fight Pass platform. we're working things out. We're working the kinks out. We want to make sure that you guys sign up for that because it's very cool, but we also don't want to, you know, take something away that I previously gave to you guys for free. So we're figuring it out. Suggestions are welcomed. Follow us on Instagram at Sex and Violence with Rebel Girl and myself at Ashley MMA. Big special thank you to our audio engineer, DJ Zoll. You can check him out at DJ Zoll on Instagram and Tomorrow Kids Studio at Tomorrow Kids Official. I hope you guys enjoyed this show, this episode. I really enjoy it. Remember, be kind, be grateful, but don't take shit from anyone. I'll talk to you next week with a new guest and more tales of sex and violence. Bye.